Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, Tuesday, December the 18th, 2018, we will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. Today, the weather across Jakarta is relatively sunny and the activities of the Jakarta people are quite good. And listener, we will have first the news read by Ani Hasana. So stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ani Hasana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Ulama Council strongly condemns oppression of Chinese Uyghurs. Indonesia welcomes agreement to adopt Paris Work Program. Now the news in detail. Chairman of the Advisory Board of Indonesian Ulama Council, MUI, Din Samsudin, as quoted by Antara News Agency, has strongly condemned oppression of Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang, China. Din Samsudin, in a statement on Monday, stated that as reported by the international media, Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang had been tortured, isolated, and banned from practicing Islamic teachings. The Human Rights and International Covenant on Social and Political Rights have stated that every human being is free to practice his or her religious belief, so Uyghur Muslims, who are majority in Xinjiang province, must have freedom to practice their religion's teachings. Din, who is concurrently the president of the Asian Conference on Religions for Peace, has demanded that the oppression must be ended. He also urged the Islamic Organization Cooperation OIC and the international community to help save Uyghur Muslims and demand the Chinese government to give Uyghur Muslims their human rights. The MUI's advisory board particularly asked the Indonesian government to echo and channel the stance of Indonesia's Muslims by taking a firm stance against the Chinese government and to defend Muslims in China. The Indonesian government welcomed the agreement to adopt the Paris Agreement Work Program PAWP carried out at the Katowice Climate Change Conference in Poland. Chief of Indonesian negotiator Nur Masri Patin has stated in a written statement from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs on Monday stated that Indonesia welcomes the adoption of the Paris Agreement Work Program, which will guide the parties in implementing the Paris Agreement. During the negotiation process, which took place from December the 2nd, the Indonesian delegation actively encouraged the meeting to produce a balanced and comprehensive Paris Agreement Work Program, PAWP, and put forward the principles of common but differentiated responsibilities and respective capabilities. As an archipelago country, Indonesia is interested in regulating PAWP to address the global and multidimensional threats of climate change, including threats on the efforts to alleviate poverty, achieve sustainable development, and protect the environment. Indonesia must wait for the production process of Sukhoi 35 fighter jets until the purchasing contract is signed by the government of Russia and Indonesia. Russian Ambassador to Indonesia Ludmila Georgievna Vorobieva, as quoted by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Monday, stated that she cannot confirm when the planes will arrive in Indonesia because it needs to be produced. Negotiations to purchase 11 units of Sukhoi 35 from Russia have been completed, and the contract was signed by both parties in February 2018. Sukhoi Su-35 Flanker E is set to be replacing the F-5EF Tiger II at the 14th Air Squadron at Iswayudi Air Base in Madiun, East Java. There are similarities between the two fighter jets, including that both are twin-engine aircraft. However, according to Voroveva, some technical aspects still need to be discussed and hopefully it can be resolved in 2019. The ambassador is optimistic that defense cooperation between Russia and Indonesia can be strengthened with Russia's willingness to be Indonesia's loyal partner. This news comes to you over RRL Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian government will issue a new policy to encourage exports. This is aimed to overcome the trade balance deficit, which cumulatively from January to November 2018 has penetrated $7.52 billion. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution in Jakarta on Monday said the government needs to formulate new policies to encourage exports. Therefore, Minister Darmin Nasution did not want to reveal details regarding the policy. He said the policy would be prepared along with technical ministries, especially the Ministry of Industry. The Youth International Organization of Junior Chamber of International, GCI, is being officially led by a son of Indonesia, Alexander Tio, as president of the organization since December 12. In GCI's history, this is the first time that an Indonesian has led a global youth organization having over 170,000 members worldwide. As quoted by Antara News Agency, the Indonesian Consulate General in Chicago on Monday said that Indonesia's youth leadership is a new page in history for GCI, which was led by successive youth representatives from the Asia-Pacific region since in the earlier period. GCI was led by young Filipinos. Every year, the GCI is led by young men selected through a congressional mechanism, attended by representatives of youth from over 120 countries in the world. Indonesian Consul General in Chicago, Rosmalawati Khalid, attended the handover of an assignment from GCI President Brian Lim from the Philippines to Tio, a young entrepreneur from Medan, currently residing in Jakarta. The handover program was followed by raising the red and white flag at the GCI headquarters in Chesterfield, St. Louis, along with the playing of the national anthem Indonesia Raya. The Indonesian flag will fly for a year in accordance with the term of Tio's leadership. The Ministry of Industry is providing training and equipment assistance to Islamic boarding schools in its efforts to encourage Islamic boarding schools, students or santris to become entrepreneurs. Director General of Small and Medium-Scale Industry Gati Wibawaningsih, when attending an event on the creation of new entrepreneurs within the Lirboyo Islamic Boarding Schools in Kediri, Java on Monday, stated that santris are expected to have skills after graduation in carrying out economic activities, which is important in daily life. As quoted by Antara News Agency, she noted that 20,000 students were expected to become new entrepreneurs in the program until the end of 2020. This program is expected to empower the community to be ready to face the progressing times. From the data reported by the World Economic Forum, Indonesia showed an increase in the creation of new entrepreneurs from its original position of 41 to position 36 now. This increase was inseparable from community participation and the government's efforts to encourage new entrepreneurs, one of them from the santri. And the last item, the Ministry of Agriculture has confirmed that it had never released its own food data, considering that all food data, especially rice production, were obtained from the Central Bureau of Statistics, CBS. Regarding reports about an observer who suggested that the data of the ministry should be audited, The ministry spokesman Kuntoro Buga Andri explained that his ministry had obtained all of its data from the BPS. Andri, as quoted by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Monday, said that the agency released rice production data according to Law No. 16 of 1997 concerning statistics. The main task and function of the Ministry of Agriculture is producing food and focusing on fulfilling the production. The Ministry of Agriculture doesn't have judicial responsibility to compile agricultural data. Andri emphasized that the Minister of Agriculture, who was in charge of agricultural production in accordance with Law No. 39 of 2008 concerning state ministries and presidential regulations, No. 45 of 2015 concerning the Ministry of Agriculture. And listener to Andy News, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian Ulema Council strongly condemns oppression of Chinese Uyghurs. Indonesia welcomes agreement to adopt Paris Work Program. And now the news. And listener, that was the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with commentary which today is on turmoil ahead of 2019 election. 4 months ahead the 2019 general election, the turmoil has got more intense. Several issues appeared, such as voting rights for people with mental disabilities, invalid and scattered EID card, and voting box quality. The findings of invalid and scattered EID card made some parties, especially those with interest in the 2019 election, are worried of cheating in the election. Therefore, Home Affairs Minister Cahyo Kumolo had instructed the Civil Registry and Population Agency to destroy the found invalid EID cards. Besides EID cards, there is the issue of voting box quality. Some politicians in the parliament talk about cheating potential during the voting. This time, the trigger was decision by the General Election Commission, which will use waterproof voting box made of cardboard. Some questioned the use of soft material for voting box instead of aluminium, because it is fragile or can easily be broken for cheating purposes. In the Article 341 of election law, which was agreed by political parties in the House of Representatives, it was said that voting box must be transparent and therefore the ballots inside must be invisible. That was the reason of General Election Commission to replace aluminium box with the cardboards. Actually, cardboard voting box is not a new thing. This type has been used in several polling stations during the 2014 general elections and three simultaneous regional elections in 2015, 2017, and 2018. The idea of cardboard voting box for the election on April 17, 2019, came from the budget efficiency. This happened because there will be almost 200% additional total polling stations in the next election. Cheating potential in the election, both during the voting, ballot distribution, and recapitulation, must be watched out together. But it does not mean that every policy made by the election organizer must be suspected. Cheating can happen not because of the voting box material, but weak monitoring. To calm down the situation, General Election Commission and Election Monitoring Agency must ensure that the voting process in the polling stations, ballot distribution, and recapitulation are free from cheating. Simultaneous election becomes a new test for the maturity of Indonesians in practicing democracy that must be honestly and justly implemented. Well, that was commentary today on turmoil ahead of the 2019 elections. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll start with September 18, 1958. Project SCORE, the first communication satellite, is in orbit. Project SCORE is the first communication satellite in the world. This satellite was launched from a rocket named Atlas on December 18, 1958. SCORE recorded the results of the first test of a communication relay system in space, as well as the success of the first use of Atlas as a launch vehicle. This incident attracted the attention of the world, including because this satellite managed to broadcast the Christmas message through a shortwave frequency from U.S. President Dwight D. Eisenhower through an onboard tape recorder. I turn to December 18, 1973. Professor Sumantri Brodjonegoro dies. Professor Sumantri Brodjonegoro was born in Semarang on June 3, 1926. He was a professor of chemical engineering. Bandung Institute of Technology, who later served as Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources of Indonesia in 1967 until 1973. He became Minister of Education and Culture in 1973 and served as Chancellor of the University of Indonesia. Professor Sumantri Brodjonegoro passed away during his tenure as Minister of Education and Culture and was replaced by Syarif Taib. He died in Jakarta on December 18, 1973. I'll end with December 18, 2000, International Migrant Day is established. International Migrant Day is commemorated every year on December 18 since 2001. Taking into account the large number and increase of migrants in the world, the aim of commemorating International Migrant Day is to protect the rights of all migrant workers and members of their families and as a reward for their development services around the world. Well, that was Today in History of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Kabutmu di tabir mega-megamu.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back with me, Ahmad Faisal, in My Indonesia. Today's edition is titled Pancasila, Democracy Contains Important Elements Different from Democracy in Other Countries. Pancasila democracy contains important elements different from democracy in other countries. That was said by People's Consultative Assembly or MPR Secretary General Ma'ruf Amin during the MPR in Pancasila Democracy Mechanism in Depok, West Java. As quoted from TribuneNews.com, Ma'ruf Cahyono mentioned four important elements in Pancasila democracy, namely agreement, forum, representation, and wisdom. Those elements, Ma'ruf said, could not be found in other countries' democracy. Those elements were implemented in the constitutional system as well as in other dimensions, such as politics, economy, social, culture, defense, and security. All must be narrowed down to Pancasila democracy. Ma'ruf Cahyono also explained the constitutional system, politics, economy, social culture, defense, security, and many others had been in line with Pancasila. So, as the national goals as written in the 1945 Constitution preamble can be realized. Meanwhile, House of Representatives Commission 10 member Marlinda Irwandi said values in Pancasila must be maintained. As quoted by viva.co.id, Marlinda hoped the Kindergarten Teachers Association or IGTK stands in the front line to maintain Pancasila values. Marlinda said since early age, children can be taught how to socialize, to have empathy, and develop tolerance to protect the country. Besides that, the association needs to develop and enrich them with knowledge, but not for radicalism, since it is in contrary to Pancasila and the value of diversity. That was My Indonesia.
Mau untuk berjanji setia. Voice of Indonesia.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring information about culture, arts, culinary, and tourism. Today, we will present information about Munggah Deha Teruna Ceremony from Bali. Listener, Bali, as one of the main tourism destinations in Indonesia, has magnificent places to visit. The province, which is called the Island of Gods, is also rich in culture. The richness of Balinese culture is reflected by the traditional ceremonies, which are still preserved by its people until today. For example, one of the ceremonies which has just been practiced recently is called Munggah Deha Teruna. The ceremony symbolizes the gratitude of Balinese people, particularly parents, to their god named Sang Hyang Widi Wasa for his protection and guidance so that their children can grow up well. Through this ceremony, parents also hope that God will take care of their children so that their children can differentiate the rights and the wrongs. Listener, Munggah Deha Teruna Ceremony is dedicated for teenagers. Parents are responsible to perform the ceremony. The ceremony begins with a tradition called ngekap, or the process of keeping the young man or woman in a room which has been specially prepared. The tradition ngekap reflects the philosophy that the young man has just been reborn and he is ready to face the next stage of his life. During the ngekap tradition, a young man is not allowed to leave his room from the evening to the peak of the Munggah Deha Teruna ceremony. Listener, Munggah Deha Teruna has special meaning for young women and young men. Munggah Deha or Ngeraja Sewala is dedicated for young women. Meanwhile, Munggah Teruna or Ngeraja Singa is dedicated for young men. The ceremony can only be performed in certain time. The Ngeraja Sewala or the ritual for young women must be performed after first period. Meanwhile, the Ngeraja Singa for young men must be performed after their vocal cords change. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder about Munggah Deha Teruna Ceremony. See you in our next edition. Sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia. akhirnya kini turut bicara. Dan kita harus berpisah dulu sementara.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Welcome to Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. This Mari Belajar Bahasa Indonesia program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Overseas Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development and Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Melihat Matahari Terbit di Candi Borobudur, or Seeing the Rising Sun at Borobudur Temple. Next, I will give an example of a conversation entitled Melihat Matahari Terbit di Candi Borobudur or Seeing the Rising Sun at Borobudur Temple. Tony wants to see the sunrise at Borobudur Temple but is afraid of oversleeping, so Tony asks Dinda for tips.
Aku ingin melihat matahari terbit di Candi Borobudur. Katanya bagus. Ada tips buatku?
Ada. Ikut trip dari hotel.
Hotel yang mana?
Hotel yang ada di dalam kompleks Candi Borobudur.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to the tourist theme, namely melihat matahari terbit di Candi Borobudur. Melihat matahari terbit di Candi Borobudur, which means seeing the rising sun at Borobudur Temple. I will say the words 2 times and you can repeat after me. Matahari terbit. Matahari terbit, which means sunrise. Tips. Tips, which means tips. Aku ingin melihat matahari terbit di Candi Borobudur. Aku ingin melihat matahari terbit di Candi Borobudur, which means I want to see the sunrise at Candi Borobudur or Borobudur Temple. Katanya bagus, which means they say it's good. Ada tips buatku? Ada tips buatku? Are there any tips for me? Ada. Yes, there is. Ikut trip dari hotel. Take a trip from the hotel. Hotel yang mana? Which hotel? Hotel yang ada di dalam kompleks Candi Borobudur. Hotels that are inside the Borobudur Temple. Complex. Terlambat, which means too late. Aku atau saya, which means I or me. In the conversation between Tony and Dinda, Tony said that Dinda wanted to see the sunrise at Borobudur Temple. Then Tony asked for tips from Dinda and saying, Ada tips buatku, which means any tips for me? You can also ask for tips from someone by saying, boleh minta tips agar tidak terlambat melihat matahari terbit. Boleh minta tips agar tidak terlambat melihat matahari terbit, which means, may I ask you for tips so that I won't be late to see the sunrise. In the dialogue, you heard a word for buatku or buat aku, which means for me. And it is usually used in a variety of conversation between you and your friends. To talk to someone you respect or older or something like that, it's better to use the word untuk saya, which means also for me. For examples, ada tips untuk saya, which means are there any tips for me? Furthermore, if you want to give tips to others without being asked, you can start by saying aku punya tips untuk kamu, which means I have tips for you. Or, saya punya tips untuk Anda, which means also I have tips for you. Before ending, let's learn Bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the example of the conversation once more.
Aku ingin melihat matahari terbit di Candi Borobudur. Katanya bagus. Ada tips buatku?
Ada. Ikut trip dari hotel.
Hotel yang mana?
Hotel yang ada di dalam kompleks Candi Borobudur.
Well, that was today's edition of Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language better. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the Music Corner, so stay tuned.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Music Corner, a program which presents information about Indonesian traditional and modern music. Today, we will present about Malay songs. To start the Music Corner, let's listen to a song entitled Laila Canggung by Iyet Bustami. The song tells about a young woman named Laila who is told to be gorgeous, good at dancing, as well as friendly. Well, listener, here is Iyet Bustami with Laila Canggung. Happy listening!
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.